Sabbath blessing, everyone, and welcome on this Sabbath, July 1st, 2023. This is our review, part two of our chapter 77, entitled, In Pilate's Judgment Hall. This is our part six of our lesson 385. Welcome, dear one. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tiny Tots theme song. 361, Heart Till the Shepherd Voice I Hear, also known as Bring Them In.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the Prince to Jesus. Oh, go and help the shepherd kind. Help him the wandering ones to find. Oh, bring them back into the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountain, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If anyone of the tiny thoughts helped by their parents or even their elder siblings would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for this Sabbath day. This is such a happy Sabbath. Holy sixth day, shall thy labor in the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord, and Jesus, and we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's the time for us to hear all the beautiful blessings that the little one has been to their parents and also to their family or even neighbors. If you would like to share your testimony, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings again once more. For this week's Mommy and Daddy's Little Helper, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma. For continuously trying to help about, especially when trying to water the garden or my flower pots, that they're always happy and so willing to get their own little pitcher and get in and help me to water and even weed out the little weeds that come up around in the garden bed. I'd just like to highlight them for that. And thank you.
Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else that would like to share what those little ones has been a blessing in their household? We also have another chance almost at the end of our program for those that are not here at this very moment. So we will proceed by God's grace. We are going to have the review section of our tiny thought story of our chapter 13, Riding into Jerusalem, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with us. Dear brother Dick,
Well, I'm halfway through it, and all of a sudden I realize I'm not on. Okay, the Bible verses for our lesson today are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you. That means go to that little village right over there. And straightway, first thing you'll see when you get there, you'll find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, he shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he shall send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments, their clothes, in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them, or laid them, in the way. And from Zechariah 9:9, in the prophecy of this day was, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. A foal is it's like a calf, but if it's a cow, it's a calf. It's a donkey, it's a foal, or a horse. Jesus was nearing Jerusalem to attend the Passover. He was surrounded by multitudes who were also going up to this great yearly feast. At this moment, at his command, two of his disciples brought an ass's colt that he might ride into Jerusalem. They spread their garments upon the beast and placed their master upon it. As soon as he was seated, a loud shout of triumph rent the air. The multitude hailed him as Messiah, their king. More than 500 years before, the prophet had foretold this scene. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This is Zechariah 9:9. Next slide, please. All in the rapidly increasing throng were happy and excited. They could not offer him costly gifts, but they spread their garments, an outer garment as a carpet, in his path. They broke off the beautiful branches of the olive and the palm and strewed them or laid them in the way. They thought they were escorting Christ to take possession of the throne of David in Jerusalem. The Savior had never before allowed his followers to show him kingly honors. But at this time he desired especially to manifest himself to the world as its Redeemer. The Son of God was about to become a sacrifice for the sins of men. His church in all succeeding ages must make his death a subject of deep thought and study. It was necessary then that the eyes of all people should be directed to him. This is taken from the story of Jesus, pages 83 and 84. Okay?
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part two of a new lesson entitled Riding into Jerusalem in a Tiny Tot Book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place July the 8th, 2023. And I will hand back our dear brother the review questions for the Tiny Tot story.
All right. What did Jesus command or tell his disciples to bring him?
People,
donkey
colt.
Good job.
They brought him a donkey's colt. Well, that was might seem strange to us, but that was their custom. To ride on a donkey. What did the multitude hail Jesus as? What did they call him?
Messiah the King.
Messiah the King. What must the church in every generation do?
The church in every generation must put his death as a subject of deep thought and study.
Deep thought and study, yes. Only thus will we value our salvation and the gift that he's going to offer, that he is offering all those that love him. All right, children and adults, thank you. Back to you, Rose.
Thank you, dear brother. Well done, everyone. So this is the time for Tiny Talks on their parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. And this is a review of part 39 of the water topic, the water of life. And our dear brother, Josh, will be able to share the review section.
Staff blessings, everyone. And here's today's lesson concerning water. The Water of Life, part 39, review. This is part 5 of A Sick Man Healed. The Bible verses for water lessons are taken from the book of John, chapter 5, and verses 15 to 18 says, "The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." And here's research charges. The healed man was overjoyed at meeting his deliverer. Ignorant of the enmity toward Jesus, he told the Pharisees who had questioned him that this was he who had performed the cure. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin to answer the charges Sabbath breaking. Had the Jews at this time been an independent nation, such a charge would have served their purpose for putting him to death. The Desire of Ages, page 204. The religious leaders were jealous of Christ because the people liked to listen to him more than the rabbis. They could understand his words, and their hearts were warmed and comforted. He spoke of God not as an avenging judge, but as a tender father. He revealed the image of God as mirrored in himself. His words were like balm to the wounded spirit. both by his words and by his works of mercy, he was breaking the oppressive power of the old traditions and man-made commandments and presenting the love of God in its exaltless fullness. The Desire of Ages, page 205. Did Jesus reverence man-made a commandment? No. Should we? No. And here are the materials needed for the hot foot bath. One is a foot pan, like a deep dish pan. Two, bath towels. Three, a bath thermometer. Four, a pan of boiling water. Five, a pan of cold water. It could add ice cubes to keep it cool. Six, two blankets. And seven, plastic, if given in bed, to protect the bed. And here are the instructions on how to do it. The hot foot bath, how to proceed. Step one, make sure the room is warm with no drafts on the patient. Step two, place a plastic covering to protect the bed or floor depending on where the treatment is given. Step three, fill the foot pan with water about 104 degrees Fahrenheit or 40 degrees Celsius, covering the ankles. Use the elbow to test if you have no thermometer. Step four, put the patient's feet in the tub and cover him or her well with a blanket. Five, gradually add hot water to increase the temperature as the patient can stand to 112 degrees Fahrenheit, 44 degrees Celsius. Step six, continue the treatment about 10 minutes to one half hour as needed. Step seven, use a cool cloth on the head. Step eight, when the feet are removed from the hot pan, put them over the cold pan and pour cold water over the feet. Could alternate from hot up for 10 minutes to cold a few moments. Step nine, dry the feet thoroughly. Do not forget between the toes. And here are the cautions and so how to be careful when doing the hot bath. Being careful. One, when adding hot water, put the feet to one side, pour carefully, and stir the water carefully. Two, if the patient perspires, dry thoroughly with a towel, could give an alcohol rub. Three, it is not best to use a hot foot bath if the patient has hardening of the arteries. Four, be very careful not to burn a patient. If there is loss of skin and sensation, go forward with much carefulness. And here are the purposes of a hot foot bath. And here is a picture of what a virus looks like. It got pushed under a microscope. One is for stopping a cold or shortening it. Two, to relieve a headache. Three, to increase circulation when the feet are cold. Four, for help in relaxing. And five, for relief when there are pelvic cramps. Continue our reference reading for the water topic of our Tiny Talks lesson, Chapter 21, Bethesda and Sanhedrin, Part 6. The healed man was overjoyed at meeting his deliverer. Ignorant of the enmity toward Jesus, he told the Pharisees who had questioned him that this was he who had performed the cure. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Desire of Ages, page 204, paragraph 3. Jesus stated to them that the work of relieving the afflicted was in harmony with the Sabbath law. It was in harmony with the work of God's angels, who are ever descending and ascending between heaven and earth to minister to suffering humanity. Jesus declared, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I will. All days are God's, in which to carry out his plans for the human race." But the Jews' interpretation of the law was correct. Then Jehovah was at fault, whose work has quickened and upheld every living thing since first he laid the foundations of the earth. That he who pronounced his work good and instituted the Sabbath to commemorate its completion must put a period to his labor and stop the never-ending routine of the universe. Isaiah of Ages, page 206, paragraph 3. Next slide. And here are your bonus questions. You look through the Desire of Ages book or the book or John chapter 5 to find them. Question 1, what did the man do after he had met Jesus? 2 answers in John 5:15. 2, did he know the Pharisees were wanting to destroy Jesus? The answer is no. We'll find more for the answer in the Desire of Ages page 204. And 3, did Jesus reverence the Sabbath by healing the man? The answer is yes. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember little ones. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the wonder ones to Jesus. Our opening song to our theme is entitled Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You will find it on number 290 in the hymn book. And if you would like to share the hymn, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Here's a light for a look at the Savior. A life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the face of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er our sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of the elder siblings, little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our family section of our review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
That is blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please look at the word that we're about to learn. And please protect everybody that's here. And please protect the people that's not here. And they can come back to the Sabbath. And you pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture of our review lesson is taken from the Scripture Singer Songs Memory Verse CD of chapter 53 of Isaiah, verses 4 through 16, James Version.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and cares. Sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6.
Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear the answer to the questions that we have for our review or any other comment that you would like to share with us? We are going to take these few minutes to reread part one of our lesson entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, part six, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 730, paragraph 1. Herod's face grew dark with passion. Turning to the multitude, he angrily denounced Jesus as an impostor. Then to Christ he said, "If you will give no evidence of your claim, I will deliver you up to the soldiers and the people. They may succeed in making you speak. If you are an impostor, death at their hands is only what you merit. If you are the Son of God, save yourself by working a miracle." And again, this was taken from Desire of Ages, page 730, paragraph 5.
Have a blessing, everyone. We're reading from Desire of Ages, page 731. No sooner were these words spoken than a rush was made for Christ. Like wild beasts, the crowd darted upon their prey. Jesus was dragged this way and that, Herod joining the mob in seeking to humiliate the Son of God. Had not the Roman soldiers interposed and forced back the maddened throng, the Savior would have been torn in pieces. Desire of Ages, page 731, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 731. Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. The Roman soldiers joined in this abuse. All that these wicked, corrupt soldiers helped on by Herod and the Jewish dignitaries could instigate was heaped upon the Savior, yet his divine patience failed not. Desire of Ages, page 731, paragraph 2.
Christ's persecutors had tried to measure his character by their own. They had represented him as vile as themselves. But back of all the present appearance, another scene intruded itself, a scene which they will one day see in all its glory. There were some who trembled, Christ, while the rude throng were bowing in mockery before him. Continuing, some who came forward for that purpose turned back, afraid and silent. Herod was convicted. The last rays of merciful light were shining upon his sin-hardened heart. He felt that this was no common man, for divinity had flashed through humanity. At the very time when Christ was encompassed by mockers, adulterers, and murderers, Herod felt that he was beholding a God upon his throne. Desire of Ages, page 731, paragraph.
Continuing the reading. Hardened as he was, Herod dared not ratify the condemnation of Christ. He wished to relieve himself of the terrible responsibility, and he sent Jesus back to the Roman judgment hall. The Desire of Ages, page 731, paragraph 4. And continuing. Pilate was disappointed and much displeased. When the Jews returned with their prisoner, he asked impatiently what they would have him do. And continuing on the next slide, please. Continuing. He reminded them that he had already examined Jesus and found no fault in him. He told them that they had brought complaints against him, but they had not been able to prove a single charge. He had sent Jesus to Herod, the tetrarch of Galilee, and one of their own nation, but he also had found in him nothing worthy of death. I will therefore chastise him, Pilate said, and release him. The Desire of Ages, page 731, and I believe that's paragraph 3. And I'll bubble down so someone else could share. Sorry, that was paragraph 5. It was hidden by the word more.
Here Pilate showed his weakness. He had declared that Jesus was innocent, yet he was willing for him to be scourged to pacify his accusers. He will sacrifice justice and principle in order to compromise with the mob. This placed him at a disadvantage. The crowd presumed upon his indecision and clamored the more for the life of the prisoner. Next slide, please. Continuing. If at the first Pilate had stood firm, refusing to condemn a man whom he found guiltless, he would have broken the fatal chain that was to bind him in remorse and guilt as long as he lived. He had carried out his convictions of right. The Jews would not have presumed to dictate to him. Christ would have been put to death, but the guilt would not have rested upon Pilate. Next slide, please.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Desire of Ages, please, 731. Continuing. While Pilate had taken step after step in the violation of his conscience, he had excused himself by judging with justice and equity. And he now found himself almost helpless in the hands of the priests and rulers. His wearing and indecision proved his ruin. Desire of Ages, 731, paragraph 6. Amen.
Amen. So let us consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, memory verse. For sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? We are going to go through the 6th question that we have from the first part of our lesson. For those that are not able to see the screen, we will read it out. If you are moved to be able to share the answer with us, dear ones, you can be able to do so, but I'm muting your mic. Number 1, who is the main character or characters of this part 6? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you're able to type it in the room, you can do so. And if it's not, dear ones, use your mic to be able to share. Who would like to take number 1, dear ones?
The main character.
Blah, blah, blah.
The main character. Was Christ, Herod, and Herod.
And Pilate.
And Pilate.
The answer to question 2 was the main idea for this section of our story, the aftermath of Jesus' trial before Herod.
And number 3, where did the story take place? We saw that this section is taking place primarily in the judgment hall of Pilate, but we see also that he was also sent to Herod's place to be judged also.
The answer to question 4, when the story began, Herod's face growing dark with passion.
Number 5, how could you relate to the story? We have been talking in regards to how under trial and persecution, how the Lord stood steadfast, and how we see how his silence is eloquent. I can relate this particular time. This week at work, I had a project to do with an individual, someone who is usually cordial, I would say. I've never had an issue with them. But this particular day, I was working one-on-one with them, and I was given some feedback about a presentation that we had to do, but I can see that this person was of a different spirit. It wasn't as friendly or amicable. He was annoyed and flustered and frustrated and even distracted. And as I was talking, the more I was talking to him, it was just the more angry he looked. And so I didn't retaliate. I didn't make a big fuss or a big deal about it. And I felt bad about it a little bit. In that moment, I felt like here is someone again, just who I've always maintained, being nice to, just treating me in a bad way. But the Lord made me remove myself from it and just say, maybe, you know, I've never had this experience with this person and it's not me personally. And by me being quiet and just not having like an intense reaction given back to him, he was able to realize that he was being what he called in that moment a bit standoffish. And the Lord allowed him to recognize that. So it brought back to me just in the time of being tested and tried and just not reacting and just being silent, that my silence kind of gave him the opportunity to see that something was wrong. So this is how I can relate to this particular section of the story.
Does anybody else would like to be able to share question and the answer to number 5? You may be able to do so, dear ones.
My answer to question 6, what did you learn from this lesson? I learned that Jesus stood firm no matter what was done with him. Although he saw him an imposter, and that both the Jews and the Roman soldiers were both taunting and inflicting him, and he still endured through it and never complained or outburst or not even he didn't do anything like that. He just remained quiet as if nothing ever happened. And that seemed an example of we will follow. No matter what people say or do to upset us or to just blow our top. And that's what I want to say.
Amen. And I just want to add to what Joshua mentioned in terms of when being tested and tried and you really want to react, sometimes it's just really just best not to do so, to exacerbate the issue. And that is what I'm learning. And one thing that I am learning is to have discernment, to remove the emotion of it was something that I did to cause this person to react that way. We really don't know what someone is going through in their day and what experiences they're doing. And unfortunately, sometimes we can be the person who bear the brunt of what that person is feeling or what they're dealing with. And I am learning day by day. It doesn't feel good, I must say. It's quite uncomfortable. Sometimes to be able to do that. But I think the reward is greater when you remove yourself from it and try to think from it from their point of view. And you never know, if you don't react or give that person or individual, back what they're doing for you, you can even learn a little bit more and even have a conversation and talk it through where it doesn't have to prolong the situation or make it worse. So that is, I think, a wonderful thing for me to learn, because I am an emotional person. I really will harp on something and try to understand it when sometimes it is just that way. So this is what I've been learning through these lessons. And that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Does anybody else would like to be able to share? I would like to make a small comment of my observation during this part six of our study, from the first one to this one. I am so grateful that the Lord had given us a chance to be able to go through his affliction from the very beginning of what he had given the disciple as counsel before these things them happened. And while it was happening, they were able to also observe. So there are so many blessings that are seeing how gentle the Lord is, which the natural nature does not have. I have got to observe how in the middle of silence, the Savior held his innocent without needed not to be able to defend anything, because what he was trying to be able to show not only to his nation, but all that was observing, is that he had to suffer for the sake of allowing his Father to be seen. By holding on to his innocence, he also gave a chance for those that were persecuting to find a way to escape, as we have seen during our study in number six. While he kept silent, everything that he had done during the time that he was ministering to his people, he already had spoken, he had manifested in his life, and now it was a chance for the 11th hour, that while he was silent, not only praying for those that were there, but praying about the nation as a whole, the Lord was still allowing his Father to kind of penetrate the heart of Herod. And even though Pilate had his conviction, also Herod had his conviction, but what both of them had yielded a member, they became servant to obey. I just saw how beautiful it was that the Lord was even trying to be able to have the communication with them without speaking, by just seeing what it is that was before him. Also inside of him, there was things happening. So in the midst of silence, we need to pray and also allow God to give them the same opportunity. He's not only working for our salvation, but also for the salvation of others. In that silence, we don't know in what way God is being manifested in that moment for their own salvation. So this part six, besides the others, has been a beautiful example for us to be able to carry and to remember, because this is the time that we are going to be assaulted, not because of something that maybe we did. Sometimes we did something, we still have to go to God and look and see that he can tell us, because we are not able to see all the actions that we do that may be offended to other people. So we have to go before God and examine ourselves and say, Lord, maybe I can't see. Can you allow me to be able to see what I'm blinded to, that we may be able to go and do what we can? I just wanted to share that comment. Is anybody else would like to share? Maybe you unmute your mic. Amen. Okay, sorry.
Sorry, sister. Amen. And I think it's important to recognize that even though Christ wasn't defending himself, the Holy Spirit was working on Herod's heart, was working on Pilate's heart. And so that shows us that when we're falsely accused of something that we, of course, didn't do, or when we're unjustly treated for something that we're innocent of doing wrong, silence is not something bad that we need to avoid, believing that no one can defend us. Because we see in the situations here, even though Christ did not defend himself, the Holy Spirit was working upon the hearts of all that were there to lead them to understand Christ was innocent. And sometimes remaining silent when everything in you wants to clamor for expression, sometimes that silence is the best argument in our defense.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And dear ones, I have really realized that sometimes it was kind of strange when you do something and it's not even in your nature. There is something that tells you not to be able to speak, and you want to know why you're not able to do that. That's just to show us that in reality, who's the one that is really controlling? You truly don't have full control whenever you yield yourself to the Lord to do the work that he needs to do. Thank you so much, dear ones. We are going to be able to share thoughts, our favorite poem, and also special music. The talk is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book, Fundamentals of Christian Education, Chapter 9, entitled The Importance of Education, page 82, paragraph 3, through 83, paragraph 3. Margin. And the opening scripture to our quote is taken from 2 Peter 3:18, King James Version. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones?
The fear of the Lord lies at the foundation of all true greatness. Integrity, unswerving integrity, is the principle that you need to carry with you in all the relations of life. Take your religion into your school life, into your boarding house, into all your pursuits. The important question with you now is how to so choose and perfect your studies that you will maintain the solidity and purity of an untarnished Christian character, holding all temporal claims and interests in subjection to the higher claims of the gospel of Christ. You want now to build as you will be able to furnish, to so relate yourself to society and to life that you may answer the purpose of God in your creation. As disciples of Christ, you are not debarred from engaging in temporal pursuits, but you should carry your religion with you, whatever the business you may qualify yourself to engage in. Never entertain the idea that you cannot make a success of it without sacrificing principle. Page 82, paragraph 3.
Balanced by religious principle, you may climb to any height you please. Next slide. We would be glad to see you rising to the noble elevation God designs that you shall reach. Jesus loves the precious youth, and he is not pleased to see them grow up with uncultivated, undeveloped talents. They may become strong men and of firm principle, fitted to be entrusted with high responsibilities, and to this end they must lawfully strain every nerve. Fundamentals Christian Education, page 83, paragraph 1.
But never commit so great a crime as to pervert your God-given powers to devil and destroy others. There are gifted men who use their ability to spread moral ruin and corruption. But all such are sowing seed that will produce a harvest which they will not be proud to reap. It is a fearful thing to use God-given abilities in such a way as to scatter blight and woe instead of blessing in society. It is also a fearful thing to fold the talent entrusted to us in a napkin and hide it away in the world. For this is casting away the crown of life. God claims our service. There are responsibilities for everyone to bear. We can fulfill life's grand mission only when these responsibilities are fully accepted and faithfully and conscientiously discharged. Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 83, paragraph 2.
Says the wise man, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. But do not for a moment suppose that religion will make you sad and gloomy and will block up the way to success. The religion of Christ does not obliterate or even weaken a single faculty. It in no way incapacitates you for the enjoyment of any real happiness. It is not designed to lessen your interest in life or to make you indifferent to the claims of friends and society. It does not mantle the life in sackcloth. It is not expressed in a deep drawn sighs and groans. No, no. Those who in everything make God first and last and best are the happiest people in the world. Smiles and sunshine are not banished from their countenance. Religion does not make the receiver coarse and rough, untidy and uncourteous. On the contrary, it elevates and ennobles him, refines his taste, sanctifies his judgment, and fits him for the society of heavenly angels and for the home that Jesus has gone to prepare. Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 83, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. This poem is entitled Up and Doing Little Christian. Up and Doing Little Christians. Taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 12, from page 104, of the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? And you unmute your mic.
Number one, up and doing, little Christians, up and doing while this day. Do the work the Master gives you. Do not loiter by the way, for we all have work before us, you dear child, as well as I. Let us seek to know our duty and perform it cheerfully.
Up and doing, little Christian, gentle be and ever kind, helpful to thy loving mother, and her slightest wishes mine. Let the little children love you for your care and harmless play, and the feeble and more willful help them by your kindly way.
Patience, self-control, young Christian, no cross look or angry word. Follow him who died to save you. Follow Jesus, your Lord. Help the suffering and needy. Help the poor who Jesus loved. Tell the sinner of the Savior who still lives to bless above. Amen.
Up and doing, little children. Trust not to thyself alone, but work out thine own salvation through the blood of God's dear Son. Jesus loves you, little children. Turn not from his love away, but go forth and do his bidding, up and going while 'tis day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The scripture song for special music is taken from the Desire of All Ages memory verse, CD, volume 2. This scripture song is taken from Proverbs 20:11 from the King James Version. Praise the Lord. If anyone have a testimony that they would like to share, you can be able to share it at this moment. Otherwise, we can be able to still share our testimony in the ending of all of the services today. Well, dear ones, next week we will continue with part 7. I can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for us of our lesson in Pilate's Judgment Hall in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear brethren would like to close our review section of our family with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for gathering us once more on your blessed Sabbath. Thank you for all the lessons that you are giving. Thank you for setting the best example.
I'm sorry, I guess our system may have a little bit of problem, so I'm going to just end the prayer. Thank you, Father Jesus, for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. May you continue to be with us, Father. May you open our minds and our hearts. May you give us the courage, dear Lord, to be able to take every word that proceeded out of thy holy word and also from the spirit of prophecy into consideration, knowing that you are the one that give us the strength, the ability to be able to see, and help us to be able to put it into practical use. May you continue to have with us, Father Jesus, this Sabbath day, on all the different lessons that we are going to be able to partake. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming, Father, pleading the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. So next week, we will continue again with part 7. And that will take place July 8th, 2023. And that will be our lesson 386. I would like to share the beautiful garden of our dear sister Joan. I always forget that this slide was the last one and I was never able to do so. So now I have to put it in front so I could be able to share all the beautiful flowers that I have seen in her garden. And I also have by God's grace next week, a testimony concerning one of the many that she has shared with us that we can all enjoy. This Sabbath review, we are sharing a beautiful red and orange amaryllis and a yellow orchid from our dear sister. So, little ones, enjoy your nature walk, and I can't wait to hear or see what the Lord has shown. So have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. May the Lord bless each and every one of you.